Good morning, Tucson. I hope everybody's having a great start to a day after we had the opportunity to remember all those who served yesterday and all those who had given their life in the service to their country. Sometimes Memorial Day and Veterans Day can get mixed up a little bit in people's mind. I mean, veterans will never, they always appreciate hearing thanks and for our service, but Memorial Day really is a day set aside to remember those veterans and those friends and those family members who have given their life while serving our country. So that was the smooth voice of Matt Neely behind the glass. He'll be keeping us on time, on schedule today. And welcome to Jump In Tucson. And what you're listening to is the Engagement Hour. And our focus quite heavily is around bringing everybody in the community a little closer to getting involved, to actually going out and do something. Now, you can start getting involved this weekend by getting out to High Corbett Field and support the Cats. If you have not been watching those baseball games, both the final game of the season when the Pac-12 champion, regular season champion, was decided, walk-off home run, amazing event, and then the end to the Pac-12 tournament was truly amazing. So get out, get involved, support the university, support our athletics, and when you find something you're interested in, jump in and let's make it happen. Today, I've got somebody who has been in government service, and I call it government service. We've talked about there's a lot of different ways to get involved, nonprofits, government agencies, support and advocacy organizations, and for some, it's running for office. So I'm not sure if my guest today's got any desire to run for office in the future, but today with me we have Farhad Mogimi. He's the executive director of, as Christy Simone would say, the Alphabet Soup, but we will start off by telling you what it is. It's the Pima Association of Governments, and therefore also the Pima County Regional Transportation Authority. From this point on, we'll call it PAG and RTA. So Farhad, thank you for being with us today. I appreciate you taking your time to spend some of it with us this morning.
Good morning, and thank you for the invite. It's always fun to hear your show, and I'm happy to be on it.
Well, we're happy to have you. RTA is obviously a big issue. We'll dive into that later, but what's important to me is that people get involved, and you've been working a large portion of your career and life in roles that are supporting those elected officials and others to get things done that make the communities better. So can you just real quick give us kind of a little background on you, where you grew up, what brought you to Tucson, if it wasn't here in Tucson, and how you first decided to get involved in some of these government agencies or organizations you've worked with?
Yeah, thank you. It's always fun to talk about, you know, why and the purpose of what I do. And I can really recall several teachers and professors in my life that have been very helpful in mentoring me. So I always want to thank the teachers out there, all teachers out there, the impact they have on students and how they go on and hopefully benefit the community and engage in the community. So early on, I had a couple really fascinating professors of philosophy and ethics and logic and government. And so all those folks really influenced my decision to learn more about government. And I was always fascinated. And so I went on. I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, and lived in a small town for a while in Wisconsin and worked on a dairy farm, and really enjoyed engaging with the community, and moved on to college and got my degree in civil engineering. And the purpose, obviously, for that was really trying to focus a little bit more on the public sector part of civil engineering and obviously helping build communities. Interesting enough, when I was in high school, I actually worked summers. I worked on a parks and rec department, helping out clean up parks and the swimming pool. And so I really started getting more engaged in how government provides a service to the community. Long story short, graduated from college, University of Arizona, and obviously been in Tucson since. And I was fortunate to work for town of Marana early on in my career. I was the town engineer, public works director. During the peak of the growth in the Marana area, there was talk about engagement. There was a lot of engagement with the community at the time. Obviously, as growth was taking place, the infrastructure was lacking. So again, kudos to the town of Marana and the leadership in the town of Marana at the time. We worked very closely with the community, had multiple opportunities to engage with the community, and you can see the results of that today, that I think Marana's done a wonderful job of keeping up with that growth. They have grown significantly since the 90s when I used to work for them.
Well, real quick, I've got two questions for you. The first one being, why the University of Arizona? Wisconsin. I mean, I get out of some of the winter months in Wisconsin, but why the University of Arizona?
Main reason initially was to get out of the cold. The second reason, obviously, as I started applying, Tucson was one of the communities that my family had some connection with, so I was encouraged by my brother to come here because he went to University of Arizona as well. So I think that had something to do with it.
That might have dragged you down here a little bit. So you worked with Marana first as far as your first service to a community in a government position. Did you work closely with PAG from that position at the time? I'm assuming yes. You had that job Regional Transportation Authority.
Yes, I did. So, all regional partners, cities, towns, county, and the state, they all have representatives attending all the PAG meetings. And at the time, I was Marana's representative attending multiple PAG meetings. So that was in the 90s.
So now if you use the excuse that you didn't know what you were getting into, that's not valid. you kind of knew.
I knew, and I was very excited and honored to be able to do what I'm doing today because I saw the impact of what all the cities and towns and the communities were being able to work together and come together, and I saw the impact, I saw the benefit of it, and honored to be part of it.
Now, you didn't just stop with Marana, as I believe I understand. You also went down and worked with Sarita.
Correct. Same thing. So, town of Sarita, their growth started in the early 2000s, and interesting enough, I was always attracted to where the challenge is and where the growth was, and so town of Sarita was also dealing with some of the growth pains in mid-2000, especially with their sewer system and infrastructure. So I did go down to town of Sarita, again, another opportunity to help the community and work with a lot of the community members at a time that they really felt that their infrastructure wasn't keeping up with the growth. So I was honored to be down there, and I was initially the town engineer, public works director, then I was the deputy town manager, and again, you can see the opportunities in Sarita now and how they have managed that growth, and it's a very nice community.
So experience in two of our local communities, and I'm not sure if there's something in between, but eventually you came to PAG. What was the idea? What inspired you or made you decide to say, hey, I want to work where I can impact all the communities in the region?
So I did have some private sector experience as well, and the private sector experience similarly, once, especially in our field, engineers working on transportation issues and regional growth, you are continuously working with a variety of stakeholders. You're always looking for opportunities to thread the needle, if you will, and find solutions. So that's what excited me about working for PAG and RTA. And RTA, again, in my opinion, established in 2004 and approved by the voters in 2006, was really the model of that regional collaboration. And it was truly an honor for me to be able to join PAG RTA in 2013.
And that was a big lift to get through RT1, which we'll come back to in a little bit, but we're going to go to break right now. That was the voice of Farhad Moghimi, the executive director of PAG RTA. And when we come back, we'll talk about what is PAG and what does it do for the community. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030, The Voice. local trusted news and talk. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. This is the Engagement Hour. I'm Ted Maxwell, your host. With me today, my guest is Farhad Moghimi, the executive director of PAG RTA, or in the longer terms, the first PAG part is the Pima Association of Government. So RTA seems to be in the press all the time. A lot of people understand the Regional Transportation Authority. They understand it's a half-cent sales tax. But I don't know how many people truly understand what the Pima Association of Governments is and what its focus is and what it can do. So, Farhad, could you give us a little just insight into what is it that PAG does of your kind of two-hatted job?
Yeah, be happy to. So it's important to know why even PAG was created. Back in the 1970s, the federal government started recognizing some of these metro areas that are growing, and there's a lot of regional issues that have no boundary. You know, you have multiple cities and towns and counties that were dealing with the same issues. So the federal government, actually legislation was passed that organizations such as PAG, which are called metro planning areas, MPOs, they were required by federal law to be created for communities that were growing, and they were trying to address a lot of these issues. And part of it, obviously, the incentive was that the federal dollars that would be designated to the MPOs and similar to PAG to be able to spend those dollars on infrastructure. So back here locally, 1970s, PAG was created, and following the creation of PAG, then additional laws and regulations are passed to delegate authority to PAG as the regional body to provide that regional planning. So initially it was only a council of governments, then it was a transportation a planning organization recognized by the both federal and state government, air quality, water quality. So all these additional designations follow throughout the years, and PAG's been in existence over 50 years now to be able to address all these regional issues that no one entity can do by themselves.
So who all are the members of PAG? What municipalities make up PAG?
So in our county, obviously we have the county, we have all the cities and towns, so that's Sararita, Marana, South Tucson, City of Tucson, Oro Valley, and then we have the two tribal governments, Tohono O'odham Nation and the Passayunk Tribe, and then we have a representative of this state, so those are nine members.
And how would you explain to people when we see input to the Transportation Improvement Plan, which is a five-year plan? That's essentially the five-year plan. We get a whole lot of input on that, but a lot of times it crosses over and references the RTA. So how would you describe the differences between PAG and the Regional Transportation Authority?
So as I mentioned earlier, back in 2004, the region collectively decided to establish the RTA. And RTA is a separate taxing district, again, established under state law. We have the authority, obviously, to be able to not only have a plan, but also have a sales tax associated with that plan. So RTA was established, they created a plan and a tax, but before it could be enacted, it had to be approved by the voters. So in 2006, the voters approved the plan as well as a half-cent sales tax to pay for that plan. The plan, by law, is a 20-year plan, expires in 2026, and obviously the revenue source, the tax that comes with it, also expires in 2026.
So do we get any local funding into PAG, or is PAG purely state and federal dollars?
Interesting enough, federal funds require a local match. Typically, the match can be anywhere up to 20%. So the only local funds that PAG receives from its members are dues, but those dues are used to provide that local match to be able to use federal dollars.
And what, I mean, you've talked about air quality, you've talked about water. I know there's a lot of studies that PAG also does. What are the big highlights that you want to make sure the community understands that PAG can do that the RTA can't?
So the main focus PAG, obviously, is to plan for the future. So as an organization working with all the members and the community, the process that we use to plan is very extensive, involves the community, opportunities for community to provide input, and ultimately develop a plan. So our main focus is the long-range plan. The long-range plan is 20 years and beyond. And then, as you mentioned earlier, then we break that down to manageable short plans, which are five-year plans, to be able to implement those projects. So PAG is the arm of the region that does all the planning for, again, air quality, water quality, transportation. Without PAG, there's really no other organization that has, one, that mission, and two, the resources to do it. RTA, as I mentioned, that's a state-established entity. RTA receives federal dollars for implementing projects, but not to do the planning.
Specifically, I like to think of RTA as exactly what the voters voted on. It's very specific what those RTA dollars for can go to. But PAG really is the only, I guess you'd say, regional. Obviously, RTA is regional too, but PAG was the first regional collaborative organization throughout Pima County.
Exactly. And that's the mission. That's how it's structured. That's how it's operated. And again, the results of what you see typically are those five-year plans, and the product that you see on the street are many projects that have been funded with state funds, federal dollars, and then later on with RTA dollars as well.
So people always talk about, they understand HERF dollars, and they understand that comes from both the VLT and some shared state revenue and others. Does PAG collect any of those dollars as well?
So all those funds, both federal gas tax as well as the state collected gas tax and the license registration revenues, they're all distributed to different areas of the state, especially MAG, which is our sister organization in the Phoenix area, and PAG. Because we're larger organizations, there's a allocation to PAG and MAG. But those funds, again, come through the regional planning effort, and then they're distributed back out to local entities. Local entities receive a direct distribution of HERF dollars, for example, but then there's some additional supplemental funds that come through PAG.
So you mentioned MAG, and that's the Maricopa Association of Governments. So there's only, as I understand it, two association of governments, but there's more metropolitan planning organizations throughout the state. Can you just say kind of how many there are, because they are, yeah. Whereas we represent Pima County, not all of them represent just a county.
Yeah, so there's a combination of, similar organizations. Some of them call themselves Council of Governments, some of them call themselves Association of Governments or MPOs, but in practice, they all do similar type of planning activities. So throughout Arizona, there are 13 of them. But as you mentioned, only MAG and PAG are the only ones that have that federal designation and are eligible to do regional planning using federal dollars per se.
And how many of those MPOs have transportation authorities or sales taxes that they collect to do a specific plan, a regional plan like we do with our RTA1?
Yeah, so currently it was only the Maricopa area, MAG, and our area down here in Pima County. Pinal County had a few opportunities, hit and miss, and they have the authority. They're going to continue to do that. I believe they're going back to their voters again. So those are the three entities that either are authorized or have done it.
And that's Farhad Mogimi, the executive director of PAG RTA. And he set up the RTA discussion when we get back. Maricopa's got a sales tax. We have one. Pinal had one, and then it got overturned by the courts, and they failed last time. But these are important taxes or important contributions to our regional transportation system. We'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to KVOI 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Good morning and welcome back to Jump in Tucson. and the Engagement Hour. I'm Ted Maxwell, your host. Matt Neely's playing a little Bruce for me behind the glass, and he's there to keep the show rolling. And my guest today is Farhad Mogimi, the Executive Director of the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority. Well, we spent the first half hour talking about, Farhad, how what brought you to Tucson, how you got involved, and kind of your passion for work in this government and the community efforts. And then we talked specific about the Pima Association with Governments. And during the last break, we were both talking about how we're so close to it. Sometimes we'll get into the acronyms and some of the details and the rules. And we really want it to be about what you want to hear. And we're going to take this next half hour. We're going to focus on the Regional Transportation Authority. First, we'll talk about the 20-year plan that we're just in the process of completing, and then we'll talk about the RTA next. But if you want to get involved and you've got a question for Mr. Mogimi or myself on the Regional Transportation Authority, you can give us a call at 520-790-2040. That's 790-2040. So RTA 1, it expires in July of 2026. So we're 2 years, coming up on 2 years away from the termination. How would you describe its success?
I would say, given obviously some of the challenges on the revenue collection side, given that aside, very successful. The RTA plan that was approved by the voters in 2006 consisted of 35 corridor improvements, also included funding for safety improvement, intersection improvements, transit, as well as bike and pedestrian improvements and some environmental enhancements. To date, we have spent over $1.6 billion of RTA dollars. And we supplemented that using some of the state and federal dollars that I mentioned earlier to be able to deliver the RTA 1 projects. And as I mentioned earlier, there was only 35 projects listed on the ballot. But now that you total everything we've done so far, we've done over 1,000 projects. So that, in my opinion, it really gives you that opportunity to conceptually see how community engagement over the last 18 years has defined those additional 965 projects per se, because none of those projects were named at the time. Those were all defined over the life of the plan.
So can you expand on that a little bit? The 35 named projects are what I think are the roadway corridor projects.
Correct.
They by statute have to be described to the voter, because
correct,
they're the big dollars. I mean, the roadway projects are still going to take the majority of the dollars from RTA 1, correct? So how do the rest of them get approved, and what kind of categories, and what are some examples of what we wouldn't have had in the public without RTA 1?
Yeah, so again, the categories were well-defined and descriptive, as in safety improvements, under-safety improvements, intersection improvements, for example, and then broken down to enhancing flow of traffic by building some bus pullouts, for example. There are opportunities for improving the traffic signal operation and coordination at individual intersections to improve traffic flow. So all those were descriptive, and as over the life of the plan, all of our communities obviously that they would go through their own internal process, identify a need, and then submit a request for funding in those categories. Sidewalk improvements, again, bike lane improvements, transit enhancements. Transit enhancements, for example, were providing extended hours on weekdays, so people who are transit dependent and working can catch that last bus and get back home. Weekends, for example, extended hours on weekends, so there's opportunities for more transit usage during the weekends. So a lot of different descriptive categories of what those funds can be used for, because the voters approve those, but then the decision what project to spend the money on goes through a committee process and community involvement, and then ultimately it's approved by the RTA board.
And I think that's one of the keys. You quite often catch some of the flack and get some of the rewards, probably more the flack than the rewards, but the decisions ultimately are decided by the board, which has the nine members that you described earlier made up. So every mayor's got a vote in it, the two tribes have a vote, and then the ADOT board representative has a vote as well.
Yeah.
But if how would the citizens and the community members get involved if they either had a project they wanted to get incorporated into the plans, or they have an area like bike and ped or the safety enhancements? Are there any committees inside of PAG and RTA?
Yeah, so the actual identification of the needs, per se, if you will, those needs are organic. They come through individual members. So, for example, if there's a traffic concern at an intersection, those are day-to-day operational issues that are communicated with individual member entities. Let's say, for example, town of Sararita, there is a concern. So that is handled at the local level by the local entity. They're interacting with their own stakeholders. Through their own process, they prioritize those needs. So they've already gone through layers of prioritizing the needs. And then once they identify that as a need that is eligible to be considered at the regional level, then that is advanced to PAG or RTA, depending on the flavor of the money that we're discussing. So it's already been prioritized. It is a prioritized process at the local level. By the time it gets to our level, we have layers of committees, typically two, three layers of committees that would review the request and then make a recommendation ultimately to me. And through our process, we budget for it, and then we take it to the RTA board or PAG board, again, depending on the flavor of the money, to be able to fund those projects. But even throughout our process, there's opportunities for public review and comment, and we're proud of that. We believe that going through multiple layers of engagement, we hopefully have an opportunity to listen to everyone. And the ultimate decision, again, I'm proud of the fact that typically we got 90% plus unanimous votes on all the decisions that we have made. So to me, that's a sign of being able to hear all the sides, prioritize, and the ultimate decision is fully supported by the board.
And I think it's important for people to understand, one, I was being a little facetious on, do you have any committees? There are a lot of committees. There's lots of ways to get involved. There's a lot of places that citizens can put in everything from email, feedback, call to the audience. There's a ton of ways for folks who think that RTA and PAG are doing a good job or not a good job to get involved. So when people, if they don't feel like they're connected, they're wrong. They can get connected with these organizations.
Definitely. And again, we welcome that opportunity. Most of our planning documents, we typically have a very formal opportunity for comment. That's typically a 30-day comment period. And then we have public hearings. We try to ensure that as many people as are interested to have the information to provide their comments.
Absolutely. So we talked a little bit about the challenges, and you alluded to the financial issues. Obviously, the first RTA plan was done with a baseline forecast from several economists, but of course we had 2008 and the significant downturn. That's going to impact RTA next. So when we come back from the break, we'll go into dive in at RTA next and what you may see as early as next May on the ballot to try to continue funding transportation in this region like we've done it for the last 20 years. And I'm absolutely a believer that RTA 1 was one of the most impactful things we've had. So as we go to the break, I want to encourage you to join Jump in Tucson tomorrow with Grant Kruger. He's going to have F45 and Vitality Bowl owners Kristen Gose and Wendy Alexonis. I'm sure I just butchered that name, and I'm sorry about that, Wendy. And we'll see you on the flip side of the break. You're listening to KVOI 1030 The Voice. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is the Engagement Hour. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell. And with me today is Farhad Moghimi, the Executive Director of PAG RTA. So we kind of set the table talking about RTA 1, where it stands. We talked about there was a shortfall of funding and what we've done as a board. And for full disclosure, if you were unaware, I sit as the ADOT State Transportation Board representative on the PAG and the RTA boards. But what we've done is we've moved four of the projects that were in RTA 1 because of the budget shortfall into RTA Next. And I think that shortfall has had a significant impact on us with how we're approaching this upcoming RTA Next. Because as of right now, the current plan is looking at using the pessimistic view with having discussions of what we would do if the funding comes in above those that pessimistic view. So we've got the opportunity to tell the voters what you're going to get, and pessimistic view is 15-20% chance that it's not going to hit that. So it's more than likely we're in a lot more trouble if it doesn't hit the pessimistic view. But can you talk about how that's created a challenge for the building of RTA Next?
Yeah, so I think it's important to recognize that forecasting revenues, even short term, you know, typically local governments try to forecast, you know, at least up to 5 years in some cases, and in many cases, really it's adjusted and modified on an annual basis because of the economic conditions changes. So with RTA Next, we're looking at a 20-year forecast of the revenue. So as anyone can look back in our recent history, when the first RTA passed in 2006, shortly after in 2008, we had the Great Recession. And it wasn't only just the recession impact itself, it was that slow recovery that took almost 10 years after the Great Recession to recover from that revenue loss. That translated to roughly $400 million. So $400 million of revenue that was projected did not come in. So learning from past lessons as we developed the new RTA Next plan, I think it's important to recognize that and how we plan for it is what we're hoping to be able to come up with a plan that promises on what we believe is most likely amount of revenue that would come in, which is that pessimistic amount. And then anything that comes in above and beyond that, as long as it's spelled out in the ballot what categories those funds are going to be spent on, then it's really meeting the promise and then going above and beyond with any revenue that comes in. So in reality, I think we want to be able to be very clear and transparent to the community that, yes, there is some concerns about the potential revenue for the next 20 years as it's being projected, but these are the things that we're more likely able to deliver. And then anything that comes above that obviously would be described as well.
Yeah, I think that's a plan that's been embraced by the board. We had the 7-0 vote, or 9-0 vote, to seven members on the State Transportation Board, nine on the PAG board, a 9-0 vote to make the pessimistic our baseline. And I think that, you know, there was a lot of input coming from the Citizens Advisory Committee, the Technical Management Committee. They've all provided input to several different plans, and we're still at the point of having to come up with a solution on that plan. And I think that's probably our biggest step going forward.
Correct.
But what happens after that? If the board comes to consensus on a plan, what's going to happen after that?
Yeah, so, and I would use the 2006 model as what we believed was very helpful in engaging the community and hearing from the community. So we plan to go out shortly after there is a draft plan approved by the board, take that plan out there and meet with the stakeholders, meet with the community, have town hall meetings, provide opportunities for people to review the draft plan online and provide comments. And then ultimately, all that feedback, we'll be able to bring the feedback back to the board and look at opportunities for we see there is commonality on where there is more support and where there is less support. Again, keep in mind, ultimately the voters are going to vote on the plan itself. So it behooves us to make sure that we make any adjustments needed before we put it back on the ballot to ensure that we're responding to as many concerns as we hear, and the ultimate plan hopefully will receive a majority support from the voters as well.
And the important thing in there, when I said they approved the plan, it is only approving a draft plan. It really, this is a process, and it occurred in the first RTA as well, several months, if you know, somewhere between 4 and 7, depending when how fast we can get to a draft plan. There's going to be opportunity for people to put input, and changes will more than likely be made before it goes forward. So anything we talk about after this, I want everybody listening to understand this is what the current draft plans kind of have it. So we talked about the need for the roads. How does the roadway plan look right now in the next RTA next plan?
Well, as you mentioned, there's variety of proposals on the table right now, but they're all consistently looking at roughly about 50% of the plan investing on those named corridors. So the named corridors would see variety of enhancements, and those are all spelled out on the draft plan. And then all the three proposals currently that are being discussed pretty much have the same categories in common, transit being one of them, similar to the last RTA. Obviously, the RTA's has invested in enhancing transit. We spend about $30 million a year on transit enhancements. So the RTA next plan wants to continue to make those investments plus some. So that is common in all plans. Safety elements, obviously safety is important to everyone. So there's an opportunity for continuing to provide funding for safety, as well as active transportation, which by definition, it's bicycle and pedestrian safety elements and enhancements. So it could be additional sidewalks or bike lanes. And then there's the environmental component. So all three concepts have the same themes, but the amount of funding allocations vary a little bit. And then what we do with any additional funds, that's still yet to be determined.
Well, that's a good breakdown of what it kind of looks like. And there's a little bit for, I won't say a little bit for everybody. I've always kind of joked that we know we have a good plan when nobody loves it, but nobody hates it either. So we're kind of looking for that sweet spot where all the different types of transportation and concerns for the future of our region get addressed. One thing, though, that we hear a lot of, and that doesn't matter if it's input on the TIP, so the Transportation Improvement Plan, which is a PAG process, or if it's on RTA Next, and we hear it from mayors and councils throughout the region, where's the money to fix the potholes?
No, that's a great question. We get that question all the time. And again, if you really look at historically what had happened, I think a lot of the cities and towns and the county have been doing a good job of trying to address that within the last at least 5 to 10 years. But we all acknowledge that there's not enough. There is more funding needed to address that.
The question is, can that go in the RTA?
So RTA is very specific that if there are roadways that are in a really poor condition or worse, that meaning that they really need, beyond just maintenance, it's a complete reconstruction of the roadway. RTA legislation, the way it's written, that's allowed. So as long as it's named on the ballot and the voters approve it, then yes, it could be on the ballot and identified as a capital maintenance project.
So I'm going to be very clear, because you're, I want to make sure everybody understands, we are not the fixers of roads. RTA is intended to be the builders of roads. And so we cannot give municipalities a pot of money to use as they see fit to fix potholes. That's not what's inside the Regional Transportation Authority statute in the state. What we can do, potentially, is do some capital maintenance on arterial roads, which mean not every road in the county, just specific roads that are classified as high transportation arterial roads. We could go in to do capital maintenance, but every time you hear somebody say pavement preservation, to me, that makes it hard to look at the RTA because we just can't do it.
Yeah, and without getting, I don't know how much time you have, but without
we got about really, a minute,
without getting less. In too much details. So again, as I mentioned earlier, I think some of the communities have done a wonderful job of addressing that, but we know the needs are great, and that's kind of. We probably really need to look at a very niche opportunity for the RTA to be able to support anything that we decide to do.
Farhad, thank you for joining me today. I encourage everybody, if you've got any concerns about transit, beds, roadways, take a look at the RT Next. It is driving our infrastructure. Join Chris DeSimone tomorrow on Wake Up Tucson, where his guest will be Grover Norquist. You've been listening to Jump in Tucson. Have a great week.